that it's an honor to have you all here with me. The honor is because of the trust that you base in me. That's a big thing. So it's unquantifiable. So today's meditation is special. Today's meditation is about stop being a victim. A lot of people become victims of, and what you must know is a victim is a person who either believes someone, gives into someone's when someone blackmails you with their words, with their emotions, then you start being a victim. You start being a victim also because you wallow in self-pity. You believe that somebody let you down, somebody stabbed you in the back, somebody didn't do good to you. You expected, and your expectation was manipulated by someone. And all these aspects create in you this feeling of being a victim. And it can take a toll. It can take a serious toll. But let me tell you something. Behind all this, behind being a victim, the one thing that stands out is, how are you with yourself? You stop taking responsibility for your life, and you want others to work for you. You want others to take responsibility for your tasks, for your life, for your well-being, for your happiness. And that's when victimhood begins. You slowly start giving way for others to start manipulating your life. You allow others to enter your life and to run life for you. It can never happen. You must never allow someone to take responsibility for your life. No one ever can take responsibility for your life. Each one of us is capable and more. The fact that you have this existence itself proves that you have come here to make your own choices. You can't allow others to make your choices. You can't allow others to run your life. You are responsible. The only possibilities that exist before you is to make a choice. If you fail making a choice, then you are either careless or irresponsible. There are times when we can absolutely not make a choice because of the kinds of families that we are born in, because of the kinds of situations that we are surrounded by. Someone makes the choice for you and you can simply not resist. You can simply not say no. These are the moments which have come to us so they can burn the karma that we have accumulated from various lifetimes. But once that burning happens, the will, the moment, and the opportunity to make choices is born. And then you have the ability, the opportunity to make choices. All that you need is your will. The will is nothing but courage. With courage comes change. Every moment is a challenge that is presented before you to make a choice. There are no better choices, there are no worse choices. There are no good choices, there are no bad choices. There are only choices. And when we use the opportunity to make choices, then there are consequences. Apparently, there are consequences even when you don't make a choice. So it is so important for us to choose. so that we are responsible for the direction that we give ourselves. Always make choices, and that is the way you can get out of any situation. Today, the situation is to stop hurting yourself. Stop being a victim. So we'll start off with a small meditation today to first of all gather all the energy that is required for us to bring about these changes. Being in Varanasi, it's that much easier. The mind is that much calmer. The intensity is that much more. And with agar burning here in the room with this beautiful aroma, the mind is that much more placid. Possibilities have just risen. So let us just use this moment for the best benefit. Sit with your neck, back, and your head straight in one line. If you're sitting on a couch, make sure that your legs are not crossed. Let your legs be one beside the other. If you're sitting on the ground, make sure that you're not using the wall as a backrest. Either way, you will get into the mind and lose yourself. In your inner scene, see yourself sitting in a golden circle of light. The size of the circle is as wide as your outstretched arms with fingers extended. In front of you, think, imagine, visualize, or feel a tall pole with many different colored ribbons hanging from a sphere at the top, which represents your higher consciousness. See yourself getting up from this seat and walk up to this pole and hold on to a ribbon of whatever color that appeals to you. Walk back to your seat, connected by this ribbon, as if it were a telephone connection between you and your higher consciousness. Now, ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its relaxing energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of any clutter. Let go of any restlessness, any anxiety, any thought that's disturbing you. Let go of all that. Ask the higher consciousness to help you relax. Ask your higher consciousness to send to you through the ribbon its healing energies. We all need healing, whether it is physical, mental, emotional, or any other. Breathe in this healing energy. As you breathe out, let go of any pain and distress that you may be carrying in any part of you, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or any other. ask your higher consciousness to send you through the ribbon its cleansing and purifying energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all pain and distress that you may be carrying in any part of you. Be it negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative emotions, negative memories. Any pain that's emanating from any situation that you are going through. Ask your higher consciousness to take over and send all the cleansing and purifying energies that is required for you to be in a state of awareness that the higher consciousness chooses for you. Consciousness to send you through the ribbon its strengthening energies. Breathe it in. As you breathe out, let go of all tiredness, weakness, or even a sense of fatigue that you may be carrying in any part of you. Consciousness to send you through the ribbon its unconditional love, which is completely accepting and non-judgmental. Breathe in deeply. As you breathe out, let go of everything that prevents you from receiving this precious gift. Let go of any guilt, a sense of low self-worth, low self-esteem, any self-pity that you may be carrying in any part of you, or any other emotion that prevents you from being happy right now. Back to conscious awareness and open your eyes when you're ready. Being a victim comes from the past. The mind always loves trouble. Imagine there is somebody driving your car. You gave the person the keys, and the person is driving the car carelessly, recklessly, rash, without bothering about where the car will strike, whom it will strike, when it will strike, how it will strike. He is simply reckless, doesn't care about the car scratching against the walls, against pillars. He's just reckless. Just for a moment, think, how would you feel If your expensive car was given to somebody who simply did not bother, simply did not care about how you would feel, would you feel nice? Would you feel good if someone with you in the car, on the driver's seat, would drive so recklessly, so carelessly? This is exactly how the mind behaves. The mind simply does not care about your existence. It does not have an age. It does not have a body. It is a tool that is given to you. You have to use that tool so carefully. And when you use the tool carelessly, it is like giving the keys to this driver who will just go berserk with your vehicle. It's only because of these situations that we end up being a victim. A victim always is making a choice of being one, careless. That's how victimhood is born, because of carelessness. But you forget the journey that you have traversed over lifetimes and you wonder, why me? But even in this life, you have that opportunity to make a choice. And when you consciously make the choice, you can end victimhood. And for this, there are tools which you can practice. Some of these tools I have shared earlier, like Nirmukta Chikitsa. Have a candle or a lamp with you, 2 to 3 sheets of paper, and write for 10 minutes whatever is occurring in the mind, not what you're thinking. And you will see a lot of your intensity will just go away. You will come out of the victimhood within a few days. When you are in victimhood, you can't make choices. All your choices look bleak. They all look limited. You don't feel like living. You feel the existence itself is toxic. You feel the existence itself is claustrophobic. You feel difficult to breathe. So the first thing that we need to do is to reduce the intensity of feeling that we have. Meditation is always not the first step. The first step is to reduce intensity so you can sit in meditation. And for that, doing Nirmukta Chikitsa is absolutely essential. But a lot of people have told me that it's not coming to them. Don't lose heart. I know people who have taken 3 months before the mind has actually relented and all the patterns and behaviors start flowing out of the unconscious memory. It is just that the drain pipe of your unconscious memory is so rusted that things wouldn't flow out. But don't give up. Do the practice so that the intensity can flow out. And when that happens, your victimhood, feeling of being a victim, starts reducing. You see that people are not judging you anymore. You start seeing that others' judgment don't mean that much to me anymore. That's when you can start working with yourself. It's important for you to work with yourself all the time. You have come here to work with yourself. The very fact that you have been given a body is because you can make choices. Because you can make life different. You have suffered enough. In this lifetime, if there is anyone on this planet talking to you these words which you are listening, that you have suffered enough, and this is a choice that you can make today to transform your life, consider this an opportunity arrived. Time has arrived where you can start working on yourself. If you don't know the tools, we are here to help you. Reach out to us. We'll help you with the tools. The homework is yours. The tools is what we will share. Nobody can do that homework for you. And once you do the homework, your victimhood will stop. But today, we will do some practices which will lighten you, which will help the consciousness to start working with you. It's always there to guide you. It's always there to support you. It's always there to nurture, nourish you. It's us who hold an umbrella preventing that grace from drenching us. We don't like the grace to drench us because all the problems will be finished. We like to live in problems. We like to live in challenges. We learn to love pain very easily. We begin to tolerate it rather than getting rid of pain. We don't like being vulnerable. We don't want sensitivity so we can quickly take decisions to move out of pain. Instead, we tolerate pain. And suffering is something that's so familiar to us that we question how long will joy remain. So today, make a resolve that joy should remain no matter what. How do we do that? That's what we'll practice now. These practices are not new. We have been practicing these for so many years, and I have shared this in the Agar meditations as well. So we'll again practice today. Let's start this second meditation. Keep your neck, your head, and your back in a straight line. Imagine yourself sitting in your golden circle of light. This is your inner space. It prevents you from getting affected by others' judgments of you, prevents you from getting affected by your own judgments of you, and prevents you from judging others. Protect this inner space viciously at all times. In your inner scene, think, visualize, feel, or imagine the sun on the sky. The weather is warm, it's sunny, it's not hot. Visualize the sun coming through as rays of light, as beams of light, the way you're able to see through smoke. In front of you are several beautiful, colorful, blossomed, fresh, fragrant flowers. Pick up these flowers and hold them close to your chest. Now, breathe in the rays of the sun and let them soak the flowers, drench the flowers, and let the rays of the sun fill your entire being. As you breathe out, direct these rays to all of creation. To make it more definitive, direct these rays of sun to your family members. Direct the rays of the sun to your friends, your relatives, your acquaintances. Breathe in and absorb the rays of the sun. Let it flow through your whole body. As you breathe out, direct it to your friends, relatives, family members, acquaintances. Now imagine the situation which has caused you to feel that you are a victim. Visualize it in front of you. And now breathe in the rays of the sun. As you breathe out, direct the rays of the sun to this situation. If you feel strongly towards a person, direct the rays of the sun towards the person. All you have to remember is these rays are not yours. They are coming through you. They are coming to you and flowing through you. Don't take ownership. They are not yours. It is the sun's rays that you are directing towards the person or the situation. If there is more than one person, direct the rays of the light to all those people, but do not judge their emotions. Do not judge them. These are people who are sitting in your head. They are not out there physically. They're all inside you. Send them the rays of the sun. They may be your family members, your relatives, your friends, acquaintances, people whom you trusted, people whom you believed, people whom you have nurtured and nourished. Don't put your effort on trying to figure out how you are feeling. Just do the exercise. Just do the practice. Let it happen through you. Ask the higher consciousness to send all the energy that it knows is required to heal the feeling of victimhood. We all feel this victimhood at various levels. When someone doesn't listen to us, when someone doesn't hear us out, when someone blocks our way in traffic, at several moments we carry this energy of victimhood in us. We have to be persistent and consistent in our practice of living in God's love, so that we do not allow the energy of victimhood to even touch us. The social consciousness is to suffer. Social consciousness teaches us to suffer, teaches us that unless we experience pain, there is no gain. It teaches us that pain is a way to happiness. It does not have to be like that. You can just follow your inner guidance, divine guidance, and have all the answers come on time for you to go through life. Let life manifest the way the higher consciousness sees it. Why take ownership when the master can guide you, when the master can carve the path out for you, why would you want to do it? When he does so effortlessly and so beautifully, why would you want to put all that struggle? Why not let consciousness to take over? Let consciousness decide for you. Surrender to consciousness. Make the choice of the consciousness your choice. And experience bliss. Victimhood is but a blip, a micro millisecond in this life. Don't give it more importance than it desires or deserves. Just give it the necessary importance to just let go of it and come back to your divine self. Life is just a string of choices. And that's where you should exist. Don't live in the experiences. They are just manifestations of the choices. Experiences will come and go. They are meant for your learning. Learn and quickly come back to making choices. Be consistent in living life and manifesting it according to the higher consciousness. Remember, do not take ownership for what happens. Live in the divine guidance. That is the way. Back to conscious awareness and slowly open your eyes when you're ready. Are there any questions? If you have any questions, you can raise your hand online or the ones. Yes, Rashi. Yes, Rashi, do you have a question? Okay. Anyone here? Do you have any questions? Yes. When is the best time to try Nirmukta Chikitsa? Do it during the day, anytime, not after sunset, preferably not after sunset. Do it during the day. Any other questions? After the meditation, I am overfull with emotions and tears. What is this supposed to signify? Well, I don't know. So, love flows and it can, if you're feeling good, enjoy the feeling. I hope you're feeling good. Your mic isn't working. Do you, Rashi, do you want to type the question? So, is it okay to say no? Yes, it is okay to say no. Unless you want to type the question. Okay. Any questions here? Any questions? Yes.
So, So if there is an emotional abuse by somebody that happens repeatedly, so how do we overcome such kind of intense emotions? For sure, there is, you know, a heavy feeling every time when someone keeps on doing it repeatedly to you. So when that happens, so how do we overcome it through meditation? That you had mentioned that it takes a lot of practice, but you know, when such things happen, sometimes it's very difficult to focus, it's difficult to do your daily activity, so it's kind of intense. So how do we overcome that through this practice?
Okay, Janani, thank you for asking this question. The first and foremost thing is that you are just programming your mind by calling it so difficult and saying that the emotional abuse is directed at you. Emotional abuse or using emotions. Someone uses emotions. They speak maybe foul language. They speak rashly, rudely. They're speaking, right? They're communicating. But when they are communicating, what are they exactly doing? They are just vomiting everything that's toxic, that they are holding on to. My question is, why are you receiving it? Why are you wanting to be the receiver? Why are you participating in the receiving? Why are you doing that? I'll give you an example. This happened many years ago. There was this lady, she was newly married into the house. She was newly married into the house. And then every day when she came to the kitchen, the in-laws or anybody wouldn't welcome her saying, good morning, how was your sleep? Nothing. They would announce what the breakfast item should be. So she felt like a servant. All right? Now she felt like a servant. So progressively she started developing a headache the moment she started her mother-in-law. So she came to me and she asked me, what should I do? And I told her, the next morning when you go into the kitchen, you start playing your favorite Bollywood, Hollywood, whatever song that you like in your head. If it's a bhajan, play that bhajan in your head. Don't wear your earphones, but just play that song in your head. And when someone is telling what the breakfast is, you can nod in your head, you can say, okay, you can nod to them, and then you can go prepare breakfast and let me know what happened. And the days that she played those songs in her head, she did not have the headache. Because in her head, she was not repeating victimhood. She was simply enjoying life. It's a choice. When people are emotionally abusive, let them abuse themselves. Please understand that everyone is like a matchstick. They have to burn first before they burn others. Choose not to burn. You have to practice, but you don't have to do a lot of practice. You have to practice a bit every day. Alright, it's not a lot of practice. Now, if I asked you, if let us say that you are 30 years old, did you do a lot of practice to walk? You did a little practice every day, and today you can walk blindfolded. Isn't it?
Yeah.
So please choose to practice and start today. You haven't done it all these years, now you start. But don't hate yourself for letting it go all these years. Be nice to yourself and start today. Decide to shift today.
Okay.
Do you commit to yourself to decide to shift today?
Yeah.
Say it well. Say yes.
Yes.
Good. Anyone else? Okay, here. What is Nirmukh Chikitsa? I just told you. It's only writing down. No. It's not writing down emotions in a piece of paper. No. You put the pen to paper and write whatever occurs in the mind. I'll be posting an audio on Nirmukta Chikitsa. We want to give this practice, and you will receive it soon. Yes, someone raised their hand. People are today raising hands and pulling down. What's the matter? It's funny.
They're getting answers. Without you answering.
Are there any questions here? Any questions here? Is it nice without light?
Wonderful.
Okay. Are there any questions?
So, my question is that is it okay to say no when, you know, you're overwhelmed with work and, you know, or we should just keep taking tasks that someone asks us to do?
Is it okay to say no? Now I want you to think. Why would you, how can it be different? That's my question to you. What else can you do instead of just saying no?
It wouldn't be right. I mean, you take the task and you don't do it happily then.
My question is, what else can you do?
Just accept it.
What else can you do?
I have to make a choice between saying yes or no.
Rashi, what else can you do? Please now think out of the box. What else can you do?
Request the person to do it. Or request the other person to do it.
What else can you do? Is it possible to ask the other person to help you?
Yes.
So doesn't that lessen your burden?
Yes.
Wouldn't the presence of another person actually feel better?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So think differently. Don't think close-ended. Don't think this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Make a choice. People might not be able to answer your query because they are as dumbfounded as you are. All right? We have our dumb spots, and sometimes we don't know what to answer. But don't take that as a verdict. Don't take that I tried it, it didn't work. You have to try it at different times. All right? You have to try it consistently, and then people start getting the message.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Apply it and give a feedback.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yes, Tati?
The feeling of being a victim, doctor, right? Is it, you have mentioned two things. One is because of a person or because of situations, right?
Yes.
Now, feeling of being a victim because of the, how do I put it? A physical ailment you have. What does it mean? Like, and I have to think of it as a situation and direct all the energy towards it.
Okay, why are you calling it an ailment? Are you ailing?
Disability,
right? Are you
doctor?
Ailing?
Doctor?
Are you ailing? Are you in pain?
Not in pain, but it is limiting.
Yeah, so it's limiting. So why don't you call it a limitation rather than calling it a disability? Tati, are you there?
I'm thinking, doctor.
So why don't you call it a limitation instead of calling it a disability?
Yeah.
We recently did an exercise where people said, speak louder so we cannot hear. All right? We recently did an exercise. And then what we started doing is to help the person focus on their own breathing and to see how much, how far, how subtle voices, noises and sounds they could hear. We wanted to see how far a noise they could hear. We found people could pick up noises which were 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 feet away. All right? When we don't like judgments, when we don't like complaints, when we don't like others telling us what to do, when we don't like receiving responses that I didn't expect you to do this, I expected you to do better, or you need to do this, you need to do that, your sensory faculty of hearing will begin to diminish. Now you need to ask this question to yourself. Have you been resisting inputs that you believe you never asked?
Can you continue to have you been?
Have you been resisting auditory inputs that you believe you never asked? The answer is a yes or a no.
Maybe.
The answer is a yes or a no. You have to be crystal clear. This is about yourself. You have to be brutally honest with yourself. Transformation happens when you are brutally honest with yourself. You can be nice to everyone else.
Yeah.
So is the answer a yes or a no?
I'm actually not able to...
Specifically, let me tell you, I got my answer.
No, I'll tell you what, doctor. I didn't even understand the questions, actually. That's okay. Where I'm coming from.
All right.
It's not about...
Fine. Then I will post the question to you personally because this needs you to reflect. So I'll post this question.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure. Yeah. Right.
Okay. There is, I have to take some important decision regarding career opportunity. I leave it to the higher consciousness. How to understand the higher consciousness decision? All right. So I'll give you an example. I was to give a talk at an organization called the Parkinson's Disease Association of Karnataka. You know, it's an association of sick people. You know, that's the way they like to call themselves. So I didn't know how to start talking to them. And so they sent their jeep to pick me up. So I sat in the jeep and I asked, how do I start this meditation? And I was told, look at the topmost billboard. So I just had to duck really low to look at the billboard and it said, get rid of your inner emptiness. And below that was the company name, Foster's, is the name of an Australian beer. So I started the talk by saying, I'm here to help you get rid of your inner emptiness, but I'll make sure I don't use Foster's. So they all started laughing, ha 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 ha. It was a 45-minute talk, a rotary talk. But this is what happened. By the end of 30 minutes, there was one lady who just picked up her walker, held it in the air, and walked right across the hall from the right to the left. Everybody saw her. But I had, this was the first time that I had seen her, so I didn't know. But after the talk, she told me that she felt so healed that she was never able to use the walker before, never able to get off the walker before. And during the talk, she just did not need the walker anymore. Now, when you surrender to the unconscious gives you these miraculous answers, which are just out of the box. It just blow you away. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. It gives you all the crazy answers. I'll tell you, I was to apply for a US visa. The higher consciousness of... There's a person who's calling me to the US for the last 10 years. So I don't like to go to the US. But he said, you have to come. So I applied for a US visa. He paid the money for it. And I'm at the consulate. And suddenly consciousness appears in form and tells me, raise your vibrations. And then I go into an ecstasy. And it says, don't worry about the result. I said, okay, they're already in ecstasy. I went there and the person said, why do you want to go to US? I said, I want to meet my friends and my clients. He said, you gave it away. I said, okay. He said, he just gave back the passport and said, no visa. I came back so happy. You know, I'm not going to visa. But when I came out, my friends were waiting out there. And they said, did you get the visa? I said, no, I didn't get the visa. They all felt so depressed. But I was happy because the higher consciousness told me this is how it's going to be. And that's how it was. Just give it up. It's very simple. It's extremely simple. But it's not easy because we believe in the rubbish in our head. We believe the rubbish to be real and the real guidance we doubt. That's our problem. And that's why it's not easy. That's why it gets complicated. How do you know the higher consciousness is talking? Who else? Who else will communicate? So you have to learn to trust. Now this is how I learned to trust, okay? I'm going to give this to you. When I learned to connect to the higher consciousness, I had to practice. So, in my house, I would go off to sleep. I still go off to sleep by about 9:30. And then my wife will keep folding all the clothes. She'll fold all the clothes and keep them in stacks. Now, I wake up early, much before my wife wakes up. And I want to get ready before she even wakes up. So that I'm there to enjoy my cup of coffee with her. But I don't know where my clothes are. So, I would tune into the higher consciousness and ask, where's my towel? Where's my undergarment? And where's my dhoti? I would ask, and the higher consciousness would tell me, stack two, the fourth one, the fifth one. I would go there, it would be right there. And this is the way I practice connecting to the higher consciousness. Remember, for the higher consciousness, nothing is big or small. Now, when I was told nothing is big or small, I started asking for my undergarments. Because nothing is big or small for the higher consciousness, right? And it worked. And all my decisions, every day, everything happens with the help of the higher consciousness because the trust is so beautiful, right? Trust is so simple. And all you have to do is trust. The decision, I said, your choice is my choice. That's it. The higher consciousness chooses for me. It's so nice. Yes, Tati.
So asking higher consciousness is as simple as asking ourselves, right? Being aware and asking the question.
Yeah, we don't ask ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We ask others.
Doc, I have a backup question on this.
Yes.
How do we know when we're asking a question that our ego doesn't come into play?
Yeah.
I've experienced this a few times.
So when you're asking the higher consciousness, the answer is always filled with love. You feel sort of, it feels so nice.
Ah, yes, I felt that.
It's always coated with love. But when it's not the higher consciousness, your heart will start pounding, you'll have the palpitations.
Balance.
The first guidance, see, the higher consciousness never lets you down. The first guidance that comes is of the higher consciousness soon after the mind takes over. So the first guidance, but it's difficult to trust, you know. You must always be on a free fall. Just let go. Don't say when the higher consciousness proves that it's the higher consciousness, I let go of this. Why should the higher consciousness prove itself? It's not even of the ego. Why should it prove itself? It won't prove itself. I was in Vietnam and this happened. This was fantastic. I was in Vietnam and there's a fever just waiting outside the door to come. It is just waiting for me to say that I'm feeling feverish. And I'll not say it. It's just waiting there. I can see that fever there. It's waiting there. The body is warming up. And everything is happening. But I will not say that I'm feeling feverish. I will not let the mind take over. It is a battle every day. All the time. I didn't get the fever. But I knew that if I say that I'm feeling feverish, there you go. 102, I can't board the flight. That night, I'm supposed to board the flight. I know I can't board the flight. I will not say it.
So not say it means you'll not even believe it.
No, I won't. Because it is the mind playing upon me.
Sir, I have a question.
Yes.
Think you will be surprised.
I'm always
actually
surprised. What is?
What is actually inner consciousness?
Okay, it's a very simple test. Okay, this is for all of you. Okay, there's a very, very, very common sense thing. Now, I want you to pinch your body. Can you pinch your body?
Yes.
Okay, whose body are you pinching?
My own.
Whose body are you pinching? I want you, you know, let's go to primary school. We are always asked to complete the sentence, right? I am pinching my body.
Yes.
So, whose body are you pinching?
My own.
Name.
Primary school. Please complete the sentence.
Hindu's body.
Whose body are you pinching?
We are pinching our own.
I am pinching my body.
Don't give the answer. Come on.
I am pinching my body.
You are pinching your body.
Yes.
Alright? If you are pinching your body, then who are you?
Simple.
What just happened?
It's me, Un.
Before you answered, when I asked you, who are you? What just happened?
What happened?
When you said, I'm pinching my body, and I asked you, then who are you? For a moment, something happened.
Mm.
What was that? You didn't pay attention.
No, I didn't. I don't know how to answer.
Something happened in your head. What happened?
Yeah, I felt something.
In your head, something happened. What happened?
No, I felt the feeling of pinch.
After the feeling of pinch, did you feel there was some blankness?
No.
Yes, Guruji, some kind of pause came in the mind.
Pause came into your mind, correct?
Pause.
You have to pay attention.
Maybe.
You have to pay attention. All right.
Nowadays, I can't pay attention on one thing.
You are not paying attention.
Yes, I know, I agree.
Right?
Yes.
So don't say you cannot. You can, but you are not.
Yes, I agree with that. Also.
Right?
Yes.
So we have to take responsibility for our lives. We have
how to do that?
How to do that? That's what we do here. Make your choices your own. Stop worrying about others.
Is it possible?
No.
You are right here, away from your husband, away from your son. Please mute your microphone. So you are here, away from your husband and away from your son.
No, I'm not that. We are in the world of such situation. We are binded by so many things, you know. So we involve in everything. Like what we have to do every day, and what we have to do for others, what we do for ourselves. There are so many things we are surrounded by. We have to do.
Everybody has responsibilities.
Yes, that's what I meant.
But to worry about responsibility is a choice. Sunrise does not come before sunrise. So don't worry about sunrise.
It comes.
It'll come.
Yes.
When you set an alarm, don't wake up to see whether the alarm will ring.
I get up earlier than
don't worry about the alarm ringing. Don't worry about you oversleeping. Alright? Even if you oversleep, it's better. Somebody overslept, they missed their flight and the flight crashed.
Oh.
He survived.
It's a blessing in disguise.
It's a blessing in disguise. Alright?
Yes.
So don't worry. If you plan to wake up at 2 o'clock, you will wake up at 2 o'clock because your unconscious will wake you up at 2 o'clock.
Yes. That's what happens.
Have you felt at times that somebody just called out your name? Or somebody just tapped your hand?
No. It's our own.
Many times, sir.
Have you felt it?
Yes, sir. As if somebody has called me.
Yes. Have you felt it ever in your existence that somebody has called out your name and suddenly you woke up?
Wake up, yeah.
Yes, it happens.
Yes. That is your own conscience that
sometimes
is calling you out.
Sometimes nobody calls me, but I feel that someone is calling
correct.
Me.
Correct. That is your own conscience which is calling you. Alright?
Yes,
it always comes to your rescue. The only thing that stops us from taking its help is our doubt and our foolishness, our carelessness. Yes. Any questions online? Yes. Yes, please, Brinda. Yes, Brinda.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So sometimes we feel we are victimized, we are bullied, and we are ignored for some reason or the other. In such scenarios, you know there is a oneself that we are right. In that cases, what do? We ignore that person and we continue, or we just go ahead, communicate with that person. Because in case we initiate communication, it seems as though that we are approving their behavior, which is actually incorrect.
I don't think you should even judge their behavior. Don't judge other people's behavior. When a person bullies you, please understand it is coming from fear. Why would somebody want to put you down? Because they're afraid. When a person is in acceptance, then he allows you to communicate and says that, then he will tell you why something is appropriate or not appropriate and how it can get better. But when the person is confronting you with fear, then it is always bullying, always nasty. Alright? You must have compassion because they are approaching you with fear.
Okay.
Please be aware. Okay. See where it is coming from. But when you practice being a victim, then you'll own up everything that they say and you'll feel like they're directing their barbs at you. Please understand, it's not so. They are operating from fear. You do not have to connect to that fear.
Okay. Sir, I have one more question.
Yes.
So in this, do we take any initiative or we remain neutral?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I was not listening.
I just want to ask you, in such scenarios, do we ignore their behavior? Or do we take any initiative to connect?
There are practices that you can do. We have a lot of practice, a lot of tools that we do, wherein you can insulate yourself from the other person's judgment, other person's bullying. When you what does it mean to insulate yourself from the other person's bullying is to stop being a target. Stop being a target. I'll just give you an example. You know, many years ago, there was this person who was a child molester. He would molest young girls and then he would kill them. So there were several girls who had died, about 20 plus girls who had died. Now finally they caught hold of the serial killer and they had to give the lethal injection in the US. So they did a 2-year study. So before, when they caught them, they visited all the homes of the children who had been killed, and and all of them were so angry, and all of them were directing the anger at the serial rapist. Okay, but when after giving they invited all of them to come and witness this guy giving the lethal injection. I actually watched the video, and the person is given the lethal injection, and then they all start shouting death onto him. They all start shouting. And then they give him the injection. They call each of these parents and the family members to come and physically examine whether the person was dead. And they all got the assurance physically that he had died from the injection. Now 2 years later, they went back to the families to do a research. The common sense was that now that the person is dead, there was no reason for them to be angry, correct?
Yes.
Actually, they found that the anger had exploded through the roof. That's because now they were desperate for targets and they were targeting the anger at each other. So unless they work on themselves, they're just going to get nastier and nastier. You simply have to insulate yourself and prevent yourself from being a victim. It is absolutely possible to do that. So if you are willing, then you can connect to us. We can teach you the tools. All right? Otherwise, it takes a lot of this group's time to teach the practice specifically to one person.
Oh.
Are there any other questions?
This clarifies then.
Okay. Great. So we have actually come... We've actually come to the end of today's session. We've gone overboard by about 20, 23 minutes, right? So there are tools, there are practices. Please practice having a lamp in front of you or a candle. Have a few sheets of paper and just write everything that occurs in the mind. Scribble if you have to. Do it for about 10 minutes, not after sunset, between sunrise and sunset. You can do this practice. Choose the same place and same time every day, and you will see for sure the intensity of your feelings will start coming down, and the possibility when you continue doing this until the unconscious is completely flushed out, you will see that the divine consciousness takes over. You'll feel like your hand is in a glove, and you'll see beautiful writings come. The possibilities overrate the problems. You will see lovely, lovely manifestations of your life happening right in front of you. So do this practice. We will be putting up an audio or possibly a video, whatever comes. We'll be putting up soon so that you can use this.
What should we do with the paper we have scribbled?
Just tear it, throw it, burn it. Yes, Rashi.
That's what I wanted to know, any restrictions on the writing. I mean, sometimes you are, you know, kind of venting out, right, you know, some...
Vent it out.
Some negative feelings, yes.
Yeah, vent it
out.
We
can just put our feelings, any kind of feelings, and just tear it and burn them down.
Look, you're supposed to express the unconscious. The reason why I'm reiterating the unconscious, because that's where the unconscious controls your conscious behavior. All right, all your intonation, your hand gestures, your tolerance, your intolerance, your anger, everything is controlled by the unconscious. Your justification, everything is controlled by the unconscious memory. It influences consistently. So the work should be with the unconscious memory. All right?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So that's where the work should be. And that's what I'm suggesting. Well, thank you so much for participating in today's session. And we will connect again next Saturday for another session. I think I'll be back in Bangalore by then on 30th. And until then, have a nice weekend.
Thank you.